August Wilson's Pulitzer Prize-winning drama, The Piano Lesson, the fourth installment in his century cycle, looks at how the legacy of slavery haunted African Americans as they migrated from the rural South to northern cities. A beautiful new production by the Signature Theater has been getting rave reviews, and its run at the Pershing Square Signature Center on 42nd Street has just been extended for the third time until January 13th. I'm very pleased to welcome the play's director, Ruben Santiago Hudson, along with two of its stars, Rosalind Ruff and Brandon J. Dearden, to our show today. Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Hello, good afternoon.
Ruben, you've become one of the leading interpreters of August Wilson's plays in recent years. Didn't you start out acting in them?
Yes, I still act in them. You got one for me? I'm ready.
Well, you got a Tony for Seven Guitars, 1996.
Yes.
And you also did Gem of the Ocean on Broadway in 2004. Was he involved in that production? It was
right before he died, he was here. Yeah, he was there. He was hands-on, as he usually is, and it was just great to have his presence there.
And when did you move into directing the work from just appearing in them?
Then, when I was doing Gem of the Ocean, I was I've always studied acting when I'm in plays. I always watch, and August and I always discussed my interpretations of different things. And at that time, he asked me about a problem we were having in a play, and I had an idea, and he said, you need to be directing it, and it came to be.
Well, have you been able to apply the lessons you learned when you were performing in a Wilson play to directing them?
Yeah, I would be remiss if I did not apply everything I've learned from every actor, director, and stage manager and artist. Yes, I always apply everything that I have.
Rosalind, you've appeared in several of August Wilson's plays. Weren't you directed by Ruben in Seven Guitars during the Signature's Wilson season in 2006?
I sure was, yes.
And you've done Gem of the Ocean, Jitney, Two Trains Running. You understudied Viola Davis in the Broadway production of Fences.
Yes.
Is there something that keeps bringing you back to these plays?
It's an actor's dream, August Wilson's material. There is no greater pleasure than around 5 or 6 o'clock getting ready to go to the theater, especially when I'm doing an August Wilson play. And I did Ruben's directorial debut of Gem of the Ocean at the McCarter.
Has he improved over the years?
Ruben is absolutely wonderful. I have had no greater pleasure than working with another director than Ruben Santiago Hudson.
But you also said that you love saying Wilson's lines.
Yes.
And that's because he just wrote beautiful things for actors to say, or is it because they just flow so naturally?
It's the language. There's a familiarity. Recognizing my family as a child, I was fascinated. I was always that little kid in the room listening when adults talked. And there's something that I recognize there in my family, my father and his brothers and sisters.
And in your case, Brandon, your first Wilson play was when you were just a kid, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right. That's how I got started in professional theater anyway. I was 11, I believe, going on 12, and I did a production of Joe Turner's Come and Gone at the LA Theater in my hometown of Houston. The great Roscoe Lee Brown starred as Bynum in that one. Mm. And I thought for the rest of my life that's all I was going to do was August Wilson plays.
And you also in Jitney in Red Bank, New Jersey, with Rosalind. So how many of the Wilson plays have you done?
I believe this is my fifth of the cycle, my seventh August Wilson. I've done a few plays twice.
Now, his widow, Constanza Romero, who has been a dedicated champion of his plays, refers to people she calls Wilsonian warriors. What does she mean by that?
You know, it's having that extraordinary courage, having that perseverance, having that integrity, willing to get in the trenches and fight for what we believe is the most dynamic and profound playwright of the last two decades.
Well, does it take a while to really understand the rhythms of his dialogue?
Well, you know, a lot of these elevated institutions teach our grandparents out of us, the southern nature of our grandparents and their language and the way they do things out of them. So sometimes I have to remind my actors to let's celebrate those ancestors that we have and not be ashamed, but to put that language, that style on a high plateau.
Well, there's a lot of music in this play. Four of the actors perform an amazing a cappella piece. You're one of them, Brandon. Mm. And then Chuck Cooper, as their uncle, Whining Boy, does a fabulous version of Hesitation Blues. Is all that music in the script?
The words are on the page. But Alberta, the work song that you're talking about that we sing on Parchment Farm, there's so many variations of that song. You can go and find hundreds, if not thousands, of recordings of that song. We have a wonderful musical arranger, Bill Sims Jr., who Ruben has worked with many, many times in the past, but he is just so dynamic in his ear for these people and his ear for August's musicality. And I believe what he sets up for us to do and musically in this play is just seamless. So this is the arrangements in this play are by Bill Sims Jr., but the words are August words.
Oh, and the audience just goes crazy because it's so effective.
Well, you have to understand.
But he did that in a lot of plays. A lot of his plays, there would be these moments where people would suddenly break into song.
Well, we are musical people. African-American people are musical people, and we have communicated in the highest form of communication about our family and our history and about our lives through our music. The blues is one of the most profound documented histories of my people in this country. But I wanted to talk about Bill Sims for a second. What he does is not only did he arrange the music, but he taught everybody on stage how to play the piano.
That's what I was going to ask, because actors in this play not only require an understanding of the musicality of Wilson's writing, but they all seem to have to be able to play the piano and sing. So I was wondering whether that was part of the audition or whether that's something that... You're going to come out of this, Rosalind, knowing how to play the piano, or at least a little.
Well, at least knowing how to play my piece that I play in this show. but yeah, I don't. It wasn't a part of the audition process, but definitely we had sessions with Bill almost every day in rehearsal, and I had to completely surrender to the faith that he and Ruben had in me because I didn't see the end of the rainbow. But we got there.
Well, luckily for you, you have a small time on the piano. So others have.
I have an even smaller time on the piano, and I was probably the hardest one to pick up the piano. But.
Well, you play a sister and a brother here, but you played a husband and wife in Jitney, also in a production of Zora Neale Hurston's Their Eyes Were Watching God on WMIC in our green space last spring, directed by Ruben. This is like a family, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it's when you find something that's right and it's good, you ride it. That's like marriages that last 50 years and 75 years, and it's almost like I don't know what I'd do without them. I mean, with or without me, these are two of the most dynamic actors in the country, and I'm blessed to be able to put them on stage.
Well, I can understand why a director would want to work with people he's worked with before, but what about you, Rosalind and Brandon? What does it mean to you to go into a new project with somebody you've worked with a number of times before? Does it give you a comfort zone, or do you say, oh, gee, there he is again?
Absolutely, especially if you had a good time working with him before. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, I believe it's impossible what the American Theater asks us to do in 4 weeks of rehearsal. To develop these relationships, 30-year brotherhood or in sisterhood, sibling relationship, in 4 weeks, it's almost impossible to do that with someone you've never met before. So having worked with Roz and Ruben, we have a lot of shortcuts that we can take. We got that getting to know each other thing out of the way.
And you're also working with your brother in this. Your brother,
that's right.
Jason, is in the cast.
Yeah.
we were just laughing about Jason. Jason is such a committed, interesting, extraordinary talent. And this is the second play I put him in. And I try to get him anytime I can because it's what I'm looking for most anything is spirit. I want the spirit of the character of the actor to reign supreme in this play. And Jason brings that every night.
Now, just by coincidence, you were seated in front of me when I saw this production. Mm-hmm. And you said that the minute you saw the Signature Theater, you thought, I got to bring the piano lesson into this theater.
Yes.
Why that play of all of the August Wilson plays?
Well, it hadn't been done since 1990. And I had, and I really can't tell you why, I looked at the theater and said, piano lesson. I think August must have tapped me on the shoulder. He's got a big mural of August when you walk in. I think he peeked in on me and said, Ruben, piano lesson. I don't know what it was. I just ran out to Jim and said, we have to do the piano lesson.
Do you, Rosalind, have you done any research into August Wilson's thinking and to prepare for these plays? For example, the story about how he actually came to call it the piano lesson.
Yeah, conversations with August Wilson. He was just teasing me because he caught me reading it. He catches. It's like I carry that around with me because it's August in his own words.
Gives you insight into the character.
Absolutely, absolutely, and the play.
In this case, he saw a Romare Bearden collage.
Yes.
And he heard a little line of dialogue, I understand, and that started him on writing this play.
He's that kind of a writer. He'll start one line, and the whole play takes place from the one line.
And Constanza, his widow, says that, like Romare Bearden, he was a kind of a collagist.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's textures. When you come to see Piano Lesson, notice the textures that not only on the set but in the characters, the way they portray the characters. How many textures can you bring to it? How many layers and levels? Because we are very layered, diverse, and complex people.
My guests are Ruben Santiago Hudson, who has directed a new production of August Wilson's Pulitzer Prize-winning play, The Piano Lesson, and two of its stars are here, Rosin Ruff and Brandon J. Dearden. I had the great fortune to interview August Wilson, and when I asked him the question that so many people, I'm sure, asked him about Chekhov, because he's often described as a Chekhovian playwright. He said he'd never read Chekhov. He'd never seen a production of a Chekhov play.
Maybe it was the time that you interviewed him, but I specifically was with August in his later years after he was writing Gem of the Ocean, and he and I stopped in a bookstore, and he did pick up a Chekhov then. So maybe you enlightened him.
I was the reason.
But August
That makes me very proud.
He wasn't influenced by everyone else. He was August, singularly August Wilson, in a magnificent way.
We should probably tell a little bit of the plot. First of all,
why?
Where does this fit in, Roslyn, in the cycle? All of these stories they take place in Pittsburgh,
yes,
where August Wilson grew up, even though he was living in Seattle when
Except
he wrote.
Except Ma Rainey. Ma Rainey is Chicago.
Mm-hmm. You are correct. And this is the 30s play, 1936.
So he set it across the 20th century,
yes,
to some degree, to show how the legacy of slavery and coming up from the South changed over the course of that century.
Not such the legacy of slavery, the journey of the African American people of African descent,
but
in America.
This play very specifically deals with slavery.
Yes, the earlier plays, because they're just so recently removed from the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863 to 1936. So it's close, but as we get, slavery hasn't had an impact on us and has an impact on us forever. But that is not exclusively what I think his direction was. I think his direction was our journey.
And also perhaps the mix of African and American. For example, the piano has African-style carving on it, but the piano is a very Western instrument, and everybody in this family can play it.
Yes, when you have a big old piano sitting in your house, everybody better learn how to play it. But
better tune than I would have expected.
What was important to me in the carvings was that he was a fine artist, and he expressed himself emotionally how he felt about the most tragic thing that had happened to him, the tearing apart of his family, on this piano.
And this is the basic plot is that one of the members of the family, in fact, the one you play, mm-hmm, Brandon, wants to sell that piano because it will allow him to buy a piece of land back home.
That's correct.
And Roslyn, your character, Bernice, says
she's this kind of the self-proclaimed guardian of the piano, and she does not feel that it needs to go anywhere.
Leonard, not a piece of land, the piece of land his family slaved on.
Mm-hmm. So it has more, in both cases, these things, the land and the piano, have all sorts of family traditional significance.
Tremendously, yes, resonant. And also it's a line in there that said, this time I get to keep all the cotton. So, mm-hmm, now he's not picking the cotton for someone else. He's picking it for himself.
Is it true that the entire century cycle is going to be recorded in WMIC's green space?
Absolutely.
That'll and you'll be the artistic director of that?
Yeah, I am the artistic director of that.
Are the two of you going to be involved?
We'll see. And I think Ruben has something to do with that. So. But if he, whenever Ruben calls, I will certainly answer.
Well, absolutely. You know I'm going to keep my family with me. You said we were family. My family will be there.
Now, Rosalyn, you were in, you've been in the green space before.
Yes.
So it'll feel like a home away from home, too.
Absolutely.
And the piano lesson is at the Signature Theater, the Pershing Square Center, this fabulous new three-theater center at 480 West 42nd Street, extended until January 13th, and then what happens?
Well,
do you have to get out?
Yes. Bill Irwin is coming in with his new play, he and David Shiner, and so we do have to leave that theater. If there's a theater that's looking for a great play, you know, call Jim Houghton and Signature Theater, and we'll see what we can do.
Well, it is interesting that Wilson has plays have done well both Broadway and off-Broadway. Mm-hmm. So this play would transfer to Broadway quite easily.
Absolutely. You know what would be a capstone for me, Leonard, to get Jitney and complete the 10-play cycle on Broadway. 9 of the 10 have been to Broadway. Jitney hasn't. But, hey, we'll move Piano Lesson if they want to move that one.
Just one more thing. Where did you find that piano?
I found a piano in a warehouse on Long Island, and I had Vinnie Bagwell, the extraordinary African-American sculptor, sculpt the piano for me. But it was built in 1899, and we found it. Mike Carnahan, the set designer, and I traveled. And we found her sitting majestically in the corner of this warehouse. And there she sits on that stage.
1899. So even though it's not as old as the piano in the story, it's definitely a historic piano.
The only object on that stage that's not as old as it's supposed to be. The wallpaper is from 1919.
Really?
The stove, the refrigerator, everything, the floor, the wood that's holding up the set is all reclaimed wood.
Thank you so much, all of you, for being on our show. Russ and Ruff, Brandon J. Dearden, two of the stars of the new production of The Piano Lesson, now at the Pershing Square Signature Theater on 42nd Street, and also Ruben Santiago Hudson, the director of this production. It's been a great pleasure having you on our show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.